let's right now bring this sugya to fruition. Let's bring the sugya to its finale. We have a lot of pieces on the table, a lot of threads, and let's weave them all together. Yesterday we saw Gemara appears six different places in Shas, twice in Tzachim and Megillah, in Menachos, in Nida, in Sukkah. The Memra of Shmuel, six or seven words that appear six times in the Talmud Bavli. Kol HaMitzvos or Kol HaMitzvos Kulan, Mevarach Aleihen over Lasiyasa. All mitzvahs, you're to say a bracha in advance of the action. Okay? So that number one is a formulation of a chiyuv d'rabbanan to say Birkas HaMitzvos. You're supposed to say Birkas HaMitzvah in conjunction with doing a mitzvah, number one. Number two, that Shmuel is also adding a key detail, which is over Lasiyasa. Now, do you say the Birkas HaMitzvah? But unlike Birkas Sha'arav HaAdah, which you say after you see or hear something striking, unlike Birkas HaNeni, which are both before and after, Bracha Rishona and Bracha Achrona typically, Birkas HaMitzvah is before. Okay.
Rambam says that.
Well, we'll come to Rambam soon. Good, we'll come to Rambam soon. Gemara says that. It's the member of the Amor Shmuel says that, quoted six places in the Talmud Bavli. And we notice that there are many questions one could ask about that member of Shmuel. There's a kasha you could ask. What do you mean, kol mitzvos kulan? Not true. There are many mitzvahs which do require bracha, and there are many mitzvahs which do not require bracha. That's an interesting question. Not for now. You can file it away. Maybe at some point later in the year we'll come back to that. But Rishonim, there are a number of Rishonim who address that. Rajman Shuvas quotes Avudraham. Yosef Ibn Palat has a conversation with the Ravid about that. Rabbeinu Manoach and the Rambam talks about it. The Rambam himself addresses it very briefly, we noticed. The Rambam said, well, both mitzvahs which are chova and mitzvahs are rishus require bracha if it is a mitzvah shebein adam lamakam. So the Rambam's criterion was only b'am lamakam. Okay, that's certainly important. It's probably not sufficient. So other Rishonim have longer lists of what are the how you draw the category of which yes and which not, and why did Shmuel sound so inclusive? Kol mitzvos kulan. It's a good question, not for now. Other questions that leap to the eye of the question, not kashas of Harei Shmuel is incorrect to have a problem, but more of the tzarech bir type, like I'd like to understand why this is true. I'd like to understand why were Chazal Masakin Birkas HaMitzvos Bechal is a good question. Why specifically were they Masakin that should be over Lasiyasan? Those are both tzarech bir type of questions. What's the Hezbra Davar? A third type of tzarech bir is whether you hold like the Rambam or the Oz Zeruah acquired by the Haggaz Ashri, either that over Lasiyasan is Ma'akev like the Rambam, fundamentally it's Ma'akev once the action is totally done, or like the Haggaz Ashri, over Lasiyasan is absolutely not Ma'akev, he's very clear about that. If you didn't make the bracha before Shechita, make the bracha after Shechita, and as you saw, he goes on to say, it's nothing unique about Shechita. It's the same by every single Birkas HaMitzvah. He takes pains. Very short quote from the Oz Zeruah. He manages to fit that in. This is a global statement. By any Birkas HaMitzvah, by any mitzvah, if you didn't make the bracha before, make the bracha after. So that machlokas Rambam Haggaz Ashri, Rambam Haggaz Ashri B'Shem Oz Zeruah, the halacha, is over Lasiyasa Ma'akiv or not. We wonder there too, Tzarech B'Yak, like, why would you say yes, why would you say no? And also just practically, where do you see in the Gemara? Do you see it in the Gemara? And we were also struck, is what brings us to the topic we had left off with yesterday. We're also struck by the fact that with all these fantastic questions that you could ask about the memory of Shmuel, the Gemara addresses none of them, seemingly. The Gemara, the memra, the statement of Damor Shmuel, the Kol HaMitzvos Kulan Mevarach Aleihen Over Lasiyasan, the Gemara does not seem to raise the problem of, well, what about all the mitzvahs which are an exception? What about all the mitzvahs which don't require bracha? The Gemara does not seem to explore, well, why do you need Birkas HaMitzvos? or why specifically is over l'asiyasim important, or how important is it? Is it critical even b'dyevet like the Rambam, or is it or just required l'chadchila b'dyevet yoyotzer that? The Gemara doesn't seem to address any of that. What the Gemara instead looks at is, that's a strange word that Shmuel used, over. What does over mean? Which got us thinking about, well, why did Shmuel use such an odd word if he could have used a normal word? And that's what we left off with yesterday, the approach of a number of Rishonim, the Ritva. Ritva indicates in one place that it's from earlier generations. The Me'iri presents it as the position of many Rishonim. That over implies, the Ritva at one point seems to indicate that his Rebbe, the Ra'ah, had said this, that over means more than just before, it means immediately before. It means it taketh, immediately before. Immediately before, and looking at the Ritva and looking at the Me'iri, we had a sense of what that means by immediately before. Immediately before means as opposed to too much of a shahia, too much pause. It means as opposed to chit-chat, either one would be a hefsek. Too much shahia would be a hefsek, even a little bit of chit-chat would be a hefsek. The Ritva in Psachim brought back our Gemara Brachas Daf Mem, that if it's Litzorech, it's not a hefsek. If it's relevant to the mitzvah that you're about to do, it's not a hefsek to pause or even to talk. The Me'iri had added part of eliminating hefsek between the bracha and the mitzvah is also making sure that your kit is already assembled, that all the gear you need is in place, that you're making the bracha on the luv and the luv is ready here. Making bracha on the tefillin when the tefillin is ready here, unwrapped, in position. And the only thing, all the preliminary steps are done. The only thing you need to do after the bracha is the actual ma'isa mitzvah. You want to be able to move from the bracha to the ma'isa mitzvah as efficiently as possible. So how about those other questions? So, but the larger, more fundamental tzarech bir questions. Well, why, now that we've defined what overlasiyasin means, why do you want overlasiyasin? So that's where we left off. Let's dive back into the Ritva in Psachim. The Ritva in Megillah does not address it. And Megillah Ritva just addresses what does the word over mean? How do you translate it? But here, take a look at the Ritva in Psachim. Chasavar Ritzal, the Ritva writes, because the Ritva in Psachim, I think, was written by Talmidim, much as we'll discover that Rabbeinu Yonah in the back of Brachos is actually the Talmidim of Rabbeinu Yonah writing over his Torah. So sometimes they'll refer to him in third person. Rabbeinu Yonah told us, .. So here you have Chidusha Ritva and Psachim was written at least in part by the Talmidim. So they say, Kasad HaRit, Rabbeinu Yom Tov, the Ritva, wrote the following. He had already passed away. Kasad HaRit Zal, Zichron Levachem. The Tamzeh Shamru Chazal Livarechal HaMitzvah, again, when the Ritva and Psachim Dav Zayin was day. The Tamzeh, what's the reason? The reason for this idea, the Tamzeh, the reason for this, Zesharu Chazal, this that Chazal taught us, Livarech al HaMitzvah, over Lasiyasin. Why is it that we're making brachas in advance of performing the mitzvah? Why? So he gives two reasons. I think I mentioned yesterday when we were wrapping up Shir, that the second reason we're going to see is sort of speaks to larger ideas about our yahadis that we're meant to. That the bracha reinforces. The first idea is going to speak to more specifically the relationship between this bracha and this mitzvah. Let's take a look. Tamzeh, again, the Ritva Psachim Dav Zayin. Tamzeh Shamru Chazal. The reason for this idea that Chazal taught us. Livarech al ha-mitzvah over l'asiyasan, to recite a bracha in advance of doing the mitzvah. Number one, Kadesh is Kadesh Tchila B'bracha. In order to make yourself kadosh with the bracha first. Before you do the mitzvah, you're going to infuse yourself with kedusha. Before you do the mitzvah, you're going to infuse yourself with kedusha. What does that mean? You're going to make it clear. I'm going to tell the world, or at least tell myself, I'm going to make it evident that I'm doing this because it's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. I'm going to fill myself with Kedusha and articulate that I'm doing this because it's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do. I'm going to do all those things before I actually do the mitzvah. Before I actually
Tovel the Kalim. Before I actually put on the tefillin, before I actually say hello, before I actually read the Mila, I need to, before I actually blow the shofar, I need to first fill myself with Kedusha and state, declare, that I'm doing this because that's what Hashem commanded me to do. Where did I get that from, by the way? Fill myself with Kedusha, declaring that this is Tzivui Hashem. Trick question. Where did you get it from? Trick question is once you realize it, the answer couldn't be more obvious. Where do you get that pair of ideas from? Fill myself with Kedusha. I'm declaring that this is Hashem's commandment.
Ma.
Oh, here's a man who's also busy with the second day. Good. But even closer, Kishma is Daraisa. I'm not thinking of something which is Daraisa. On the other hand, I'm thinking of something that's very, very directly relevant to our topic and speaks of Kedusha that comes through mitzvahs and the fact that this mitzvah is a mitzvah, a tzivui from Hashem. Birkas Yeris is an example of. Even better. Every Birkas HaMitzvah has what formula? Share Kiddushan v'sasav. The Akbu, Aleph Kuf Beis Vav. It's not really one phrase. It's two phrases. Share Kiddushan v'sasav. Period. Number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mekadosh us with his mitzvahs. And number two, V'tzivanu, he specifically commanded us to do fill the dots. He specifically commanded me to say hello. He specifically commanded me to wear, to put on a towel. He specifically commanded me to eat the sukkah. Whatever it is. But every Birkas HaMitzvah works that way. Asher Kisham is Sosav. V'tzivanu, So the Ritva says, well, that's probably what you're doing when you say a Birkas HaMitzvah. You're saying the things that you say when you say a Birkas HaMitzvah. You are making a statement. Chazal wanted you to recognize that the mitzvah infuses you with Kedusha. The Chazal wanted you to make a public statement. Public statement, whatever. To verbalize, I'm doing this because Hashem wanted me to do it. It's not just because the weather is nice out here in the sukkah. It's not just because I'll look firm if I listen to shofar. I'm doing this because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of me.
And that's exactly what he's saying in the bracha. Tzivanu, Hashem commanded us to hear the shofar. Hashem commanded us on the Tilos Yadayim, whatever it is. So the Ritva says, that's number one. You need to make that statement in advance of doing the mitzvah.
Wait, what?
Yeah?
Why do you
need to be an Ooh, great question. Fantastic. So here's a man who's on the ball. So Yaakov is saying, one second, how's the answer? And it's the question. You try to explain to me why the brach needs to be before instead of after it. So why before? Yeah, what do you say?
And you're preparing yourself for doing the actual mitzvah. You need to do it after the fact, fine, meaning the mitzvah is done. But Hashem didn't like, command you to say the brach, he commanded you to do the mitzvah. So you're saying the brach, like preparing yourself for the mitzvah itself. Right?
Okay, good. You're onto something. Could you formulate that even more sharply? It's preparation. If what happens, what do I gain when I say these brachos beforehand that I would miss if I said the bracha after? Yeah, what were we going to say?
The Kedusha aspect of it, saying we're infusing yourself with Kedusha, if you're missing that, you're not like necessarily showing that you're doing it for Hashem. You're not articulating that.
Good. Yeah.
It's like you're focusing the action into a sense of kedusha. Like, cause you could eat, but if you make a bracha beforehand, you're forcing it into more ruchniyistic sense. And when you make that bracha and you focus yourself in a sense of kedusha, then you're actually just like creating that vice. It's not just an action now. Now it's an action that you perform it.
Good. We'll come back to that formulation soon. What were you saying?
Similar
ones.
Doesn't mean
the thing
you're doing as a mitzvah, not just any
arena
of action.
Oh,
Basil?
You have to make sure that kavanah is the same shemayim before you do the
mitzvah. Oh, good. So let's weave together what was said from different angles over the last minute or so. That because the arrow of time points in one direction, if I talk about this before the mitzvah, so it'll be in my mind when I do the mitzvah. If I talk about after the mitzvah, so I miss the chance to be thinking about these ideas while I. While I did the mitzvah, and several of you mentioned the word kavana. There are various ideas that I might want to have in mind when I do a mitzvah. We came across in Bikiyas, beginning of the second paragraph, we came across the discussion of mitzvahs trichas kavana, and we saw there there could be various kavana. what am I thinking about while I do a mitzvah? So mitzvah shrichas kavana has to do with I intend to do this because that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me. You could think about other content, other themes you could think about as well. And that's what the Ritva seems to be pointing to. You should be thinking, when you're doing the mitzvah, you should be aware of the fact, not just I'm doing it because that's what everyone does, or because, fill in the blank, I'm doing it because that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me, because I work for God. So, if you say that beforehand, then that can be in your mind when you do it.
It's equally as internal as external.
Ah.
On the ball.
So Yankala brings us now to the second comment the Ritva makes, and perhaps is weaving the two together. The ode. The Ritva says, in addition to the specific this event, this moment, you're going to make this bracha, then do that mitzvah. So that way, the doing the bracha first is feeding, is enhancing your kavana b'shasa as a mitzvah more than if you're going to make the bracha afterward. The ode, he says, another way of thinking about it, sort of a larger, more global picture. Ki habrachos me'avodas hanefesh. The brachos are part of the avoda of the nefesh, whatever that means exactly. The roi la, we got to figure this out. The roi lehak, it would be appropriate lehakdim avodas hanefesh lamasa shehi avodas haguf. He says it's appropriate to give priority to avodas hanefesh. Avodas hanefesh ought to be in the number one spot, and avodas haguf ought to be in the number two spot. What's going on? And why are brachas avos hanefesh? Brachas, I say with my mouth. Mikra Megillah. Right? You make a bracha, then you do Mikra Megillah. They're both with your mouth. So you can either call that avos haguf, either your mouth is avos haguf, or your mouth is avos hanefesh. But what do you mean? The brachas are avos hanefesh, the ma'aseh mitzvah is avos haguf. And what do you mean that avos hanefesh ought to be first, avos haguf ought to be second? Yeah, what do you say?
Maybe because brachos are spiritual, and like eating or doing a mitzvah is somewhat physical, so you have to do the spiritual action before the physical.
Okay, good. Although eating can be, if it's a mitzvah, then it's a spiritual act also.
The bracha makes it a mitzvah.
Ah, okay, good. Okay, you're onto something. Good. Yeah.
You can only elevate the gashmias once you have the ruchnias first.
Oh.
It's after. I feel like
you can't. So we'll come across this soon, Mesilas Sharm, Hashem, particularly in the manuscript version of Mesilas Sharm. We'll talk about that. The dialogue version of Mesilas Sharm that was discovered a couple decades ago in a library in Soviet Russia. There he's even more explicit about what he implies in the usual version of Mesilas Sharm, the end of the Akdama. He's not the first one to talk about this by a long shot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has expected, as a matter of fact, 1,000 years ago, there was a Talmud Chacham who wrote an entire Sefer entitled about this idea. HaKadosh Rabbeinu Bachaya, Ibn Pakuda, around 1,000 years ago, pointed out an introduction to the Sefer for which he's famous, and the name of the Sefer which he's usually known. He points out an introduction that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has expectations of us in terms of behavior, external expectations of what we do with our hands and feet, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has expectations for the inner landscape of a Jew. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has expectations about for our thoughts and our feelings, our attitudes and our perspectives, our personality, our character. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in other words, has both, it imposes upon us both chovas ha'ivarim, expectations of our limbs, and chovas halavavas, expectations for our hearts and minds. Kadosh Baruch Hu has expectations for both. Rabbi Chaim Pakuda went on to say in the introduction, I found a lot of svarim written achar chasimas haTalmud by Gaonim, early Rishonim, about chovas halavavas. No one seems to have written anything comprehensive about chovas halavavas. So I guess, he says, I don't think I'm really qualified to do it, but if no one else is going to do it, I guess I'm going to have to write a sefer called chovas halavavas. And he goes on to write an absolute masterpiece where he lays out what he sees as the 10 major headings of the Chovas HaLevavos, and he has an entire section for each. So that pair of ideas, Chovas HaLevavos and Chovas HaYivarim, we'll see when we go further. Mesilas Sharm sees it developed in a very important pasuk in Ekev. It's probably what the Ritva means here also. He's using the terminology of avodas ha-nefesh and avodas ha-guf. Probably he means the same as what a couple centuries earlier Ben Abachai meant when he said, or it's translated from the Arabic, as chovas ha-alvavas and chovas ha-ivar. The brachas are part of avodas ha-nefesh, and then you have the maisa mitzvah, which is avodas ha-guf. Eating matzah ought to be a spiritual act. The eating matzah is a spiritual act that you do with your hand, with your mouth. The ideas that you think about when you eat matzah, that's part of the chovas halvavas. That's part of avodas hanefesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to align proper behavior, proper outside, with proper inside, proper chitzonius, with proper premius. Chitzonius doesn't primarily mean the clothing that you wear. Chitzonius more broadly means your external behaviors. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectations for our external behaviors, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectations for our inner life, for our thoughts and our feelings, our emotions and our ideas and our midos and so on and so forth. So what the Ritva seems to be saying is that not only practically right now, parrots number one, right now if I say the bracha before the mitzvah, so then the ideas of the bracha will be in my mind more when I do the mitzvah, but more broadly, brachas are an expression of the chovas halavavas part of Judaism. The Maisa Mitzvah is an expression, an example, of the Chovas HaEvarim part of Judaism. Both are critical parts of Yadus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu absolutely, profoundly expects both of us, both of them from each of us. Which one ought to go first? The Ritva says, but the number one spot, the more Bekavadik spot, should go to Chovas HaLevavos. The more b'chavadik a spot ought to go to avodas ha-nefesh. A point which, when we get to the end of the Hakdamah Sil Sisharim, he makes there as well, a different way, but how they're both critical, but the chovas ha-levavos is even more central than the chovas ha-ivarim, which is a mistake that many people sometimes make. Many people think, I check off the box, I do the right things, I only eat kosher food, I only keep Shabbat, I do all the right things, and, I'm good. That's one piece. That's a absolutely critical piece of the puzzle. Chas v'shalom, a Jew cannot only, be a Jew inside but not do mitzvahs masyas. That is unacceptable. It is at least as unacceptable, and perhaps if one can say even more unacceptable, to have the right outsides, but inside is my mind, my heart, my emotions, my thoughts, my midos are not a part of my avodas Hashem. That's perhaps even more problematic. So that's what Mishiyas Sharm develops, we'll get to. And the Hakdama, that's the Ritva saying right here. They're both critical. They're both absolutely necessary. In terms of Chashivus, top billing goes to Chovas HaLevavos. Top billing goes to Avodas HaNefesh. And that's why it's appropriate. Protocol dictates that the most Chashiv element goes first. So first you say the Bracha, and then you do the Maisa Mitzvah. So as I said before, the Ritva is giving two explanations for why it is that Chazal wanted us to say brachos before the mitzvah. Why? Were Chazal Masakhan over Lasiyasan? The latter answer, you see, is sort of a more global statement about how our Yahadus is structured. Every time, which is interesting, every time you say a bracha and do a mitzvah, you're chazaring this idea. Fascinating idea, no? How many times do you say a birkas mitzvah every day? Depends on the day. 5, 10, 20, depends how often you have bread. Right? But every time you say Birkas HaMitzvah, you're chazaring, the Ritva says in the second Teretz, these core ideas, that Yadus comprises both Chovas HaLevavos and Chovas HaEvarim, represented by the Bracha and the Maisa Mitzvah, and the Chovas HaLevavos are top spot. That's why we say the Bracha first. That was the Ritva's second, more larger, more philosophical answer. And the first answer was practically, right here, not just a statement about the structure of Yadus, right here, right now, this bracha, this mitzvah, I need. If I say the bracha first, my maisa mitzvah will be more infused with an awareness of Kedusha, with a kavana l'shem Hashem, than if I say the bracha afterwards. Yeah?
So is there any reason to say a bracha to an
That's a good question. A little bit orthogonal to where we are right now. A very good question, nevertheless. You are pointing out that to say things and not be aware of what they mean is counterproductive. And I think you're also pointing out specifically here, the Ritva is stressing the purpose of saying the bracha is to think about the ideas the bracha is presenting. So woe unto me if I say a bracha and don't even know what the words mean, I'm missing out on the opportunity. That is true. The truth is, the Ritva made the point here, but it's probably true for every time we have a Chovas Amira. If I have a chiv to say Kriya Shema, so obviously, you know, the idea is that I'm reviewing the ideas of Achdus HaBorei and Avos Hashem and Limud HaTorah and so on and so forth. So obviously, woe is to me if I'm going to say Kriya Shema and not even know what the words mean. By Kriya Shema in particular, so that's part of that sugya at the beginning of the second parak about Kavanah's pasuk rishon or parak rishon, that it could be by Kriya Shema it's critical to know what it is I'm saying might be critical. That's not usually the case by most mitzvos of Amira. By most mitzvos of Amira, I'm obvious, and it's probably the following is probably true for brachas as well. Clearly, if I don't know what I'm saying, the mitzvah of saying that text is severely deficient. I'm going to say Berakas HaMazon and not know what the words mean. I'm going to say Shmona Esrei and not know what the words mean. I'm going to say a bracha and not know what the words mean. Clearly, I am missing a lot of what I'm supposed to accomplish in reciting that text. At the same time, the din is that I am Yotze, generally. Reb Chaim thinks that the first bracha of Shmona Esrei might be an exception. But generally, I am Yotze, at least in Hebrew. That's the sugi you remember from Maseches Megillah. That in the second parak, right? That to be yotze, but those mitzvahs that where you're allowed to be yotze in translation only if you understand the translation. But if you say in the original Hebrew, you're yotze even if you don't know what the Hebrew means. Obviously, that's very deficient. Obviously, you're missing out a tremendous amount. You're just gonna say in Hebrew and not know what you're talking about. Yeah, but that's true for active mitzvahs also. The Sefer Achinuch is full of awareness of what it is I accomplish. What am I accomplishing by giving stucco? What am I accomplishing by wearing tefillin? What do I accomplish by having mezuzah? What do I accomplish by leaving lekach shechem peah? And so on and so forth. If I wasn't thinking about the tam ha-mitzvah, so obviously my maisa mitzvah is defective. At the same time, the din is that you're yotze. It's a mitzvah shlo b'shlei musa, but the action itself has some impact. You're saying to the extent that here in particular. You're saying habrachas me'avos ha'nefesh. Here he said, well, the whole idea of the bracha is avos ha'nefesh. So how do I mindlessly have avos ha'nefesh? That's a good point. In the second teretz, I think he's speaking in broader terms. In the second teretz, he's saying the bracha represents beyond just like what's happening right now on this Tuesday morning, on this Thursday morning, on this Friday afternoon, in larger, almost symbolic terms, the bracha it represents avos and nefesh as a whole. The ma'aseh mitzvah represents avos hakof as a whole. And by putting that bracha first, we're reiterating and reinforcing the primacy of avos and nefesh. And clearly, the bracha is an expression of avos hanefesh. At the same time, Chazal lemaisa were mechayiv me to say a bracha. I said the bracha. Did I do a great job of the mitzvah? No. Was the mitzvah shlo b'shlei musa? Absolutely. Did I do enough that I'm yotzei b'dievet? Yeah. I think that's the way I look at it. Yeah.
Before the Rambam said that if it's not over the asiyasa, like don't even think about making the bracha afterwards. But is there not a point to declaring that what I just did was...
Amazing. Ellie, you're on the ball. So now that what we want to do is the move from understanding why overlast yas is important back to if we understand why it's important, that ought to predict, if the theory is accurate, that ought to predict details of how over lasiyasan works. We can do that moment. Let me just share with you it. Thank you for the segue. I'll share with you one historical tidbit first. A good friend of mine, Rabbi Brian Gopin, doing yeshiva here together for many years. We're now neighbors. And he is a chash of a Talmud Chacham who also works as an accountant and has had the same night seder chavrusa for the last 2+ decades. You should all be zeicher, regardless of what profession you go into, whether it's Habatz HaTorah or not, to have such consistency with the chavrusa. So he pointed out to me a number of years ago that this Ritva lived in the 1300s, a generation after the Rosh and the Rajba. So it comes up again in a historically fascinating context 400 years later. And on the bottom of this page, you see a tshuva of the Noda Behuda. Noda Behuda lived in the late 1700s, early 1800s. He was, I haven't told you any Noda Behuda stories. At some point, he is a fascinating Talmud Chacham. Absolutely fascinating, enormous Talmud Chacham, who also was had an incredibly witty sense of humor. He is a fascinating, fascinating man. Noda Behuda. Vicheska Landau. He was a Rav of Prague. And he handled all sorts of shilas over the course of the late 1700s, early 1800s. And here's a tshuva you see, a series of 4 tshuvas he wrote to a Reber, who was the Rav of the town of Gotain, which I think is in Germany, I believe. You see, he writes at the beginning over here, he says, Baruch Hashem, Prague, Aleph, Chav Bei, Sivan, Tav Kof, Lamed Vav. Sunday, the 22nd of Sivan, Tav Kof, Lamed Vav. You can go on hebkel.com or wherever your preferred Hebrew date, English date converter is. You'll discover this was, the Tav Kof, Lamed Vav is 1776. Sivan of 1776 is late spring, early summer. I got super excited when I noticed the date. It would have been cute if it would have been July 4th. That's early mid-June. He was dealing, the Noda Behuda, with a different type of revolution. Around the same time that Lahavdil, the Avos HaKadoshim of the United States of America, James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, they were all handling about the revolution against Britain. So Lahavdil, the Noda Behuda, several thousand miles to the east, was grappling with a very different type of revolution. There was a revolution going on, mid to late 1700s, this is a couple of decades after the story of the life and the story of the Ramchal that we were talking about earlier this week. It's remarkable that the Ramchal, as I shared with you, was so incredibly controversial in his own lifetime. Within just a few decades, there was a new controversy on the table. Mid to late 1700s, that was ripping Kalal Yisrael in Europe into pieces. And he, Ramchal, within just a few decades of his Petira, had already become so mainstream and so widely accepted that both sides claimed him as their own. Both Chassidim, the followers of the Baal Shem Tov, and the Mesnagdim, who were very, very frightened of this new Chassidish movement. Led by the Gra and others, the early Rebbes, on the one hand, and the Gra and Chaim Mivolozhin, on the other hand, were both fervent adherents of the Ramchal and his writings, Mesilas Yesharim and the other Kisser Ramchal. It's a fascinating thing. The Baal Shem Tov started a movement in this latter half of the 1700s. As you know, ultimately grew into, went through different stages, ultimately grew into the Hasidus that we know nowadays. One of the early chidushim was a popularization of Kabbalah, that we should bring elements of Kabbalah to the masses. That was a frightening thought. Again, given the historical context we discussed earlier this week, that sounded like yet another iteration of the of going down the road towards Shabtai Tzvi. And aside from that, that's not what it says in the Mishnah Chagiga. That has not been our tradition. Again, that's one piece out of the much larger discussion about what Chassidus was and what the Machlokas was about. there were some curious family connections and family overlaps. The Noi Yehuda was one of the Rabbanim who was very, very concerned and hesitant about where this new movement was heading. His own daughter became very mekureves to the Baal Shem Tov. One of the stories that they tell is that Noi Yehuda finally finds out that his daughter is part of this whole group of the proto Hasidus, and he's like, "Well, what is this? Who's the person you're following?" He says, "Ta, he's a Baal Ruach HaKadosh, the Baal Shem Tov." So he says, "How do you know?" So his daughter says, "We were once seen today. The whole group was with the Baal Shem Tov, and he was talking, learning, whatever, talking about ideas. All of a sudden, apropos to nothing, he stands up, tears his clothing, rips kriya, and then sits down and continues talking. Like, bizarre. Yeah. Like the way one does, if you're present at, if one loses a close relative, or if a Jew is present when another Jew, even not related, passes away. So she said, I thought it was very striking. So she wasn't sure what it meant, but she figured she'll make a note of the exact time that it happened, and maybe, you know, she'll figure out in retrospect what it was all about. So she wrote down for herself in her diary the date and time that it happened. Then a couple of weeks, couple months later, the next boat arrives in the port, bearing the news that the Arachayim, on the Gedolim of North African Yadus in the 1700s, had passed away. And it was mamish that day, that time. That's when that's exactly when the Arachayim passed away, is when the Baal Shem Tov tore kriya. Clearly, how could he know? This was before modern communication. There's no way to know. And clearly, it's Ruach HaKadosh. So supposedly, Nebuchadnezzar would have said to her, Ruach HaKadosh, he's violated law of Daraisa. What type of Baal Tashkas is that? He wasn't there b'shas tzias neshama. That was no mitzvah. That was a law of Daraisa Baal Tashkas. That's the way they tell the story. And then the Chassidim continue the story, is that the daughter of Noi Yehuda goes back to the Baal Shem Tov and says, my father said that it was wrong. It's Baal Tashkas unless you're there b'shas tzias neshama. To which, according to Chassidim, Baal Shem Tov responds, I was there b'shas tzias neshama. Okay, so different ways to play the story. The other story is also Noi Yehuda Baal Shem Tov about the supposedly, Baal Shem Tov wanted to know, like, is he actually Talmud Chacham? Like, who's this fellow? Very charismatic, but who's this fellow leading the movement? Is he such an enormous Talmud Chacham that he's entitled to craft such chidushim? So supposedly, Nabi Yehuda called him in and said, I want to give you a bechina. He says, we'll start with easy things. I'll ask you Yalv Yavo Shilos. Yeah, you miss Yalv Yavo, you go back, you not go back, you know. So supposedly, a chizim teller of the story is that the Baal Shem Tov says, Rebbe, whatever you want to ask me, I'm glad to, I'll do my best to try to respond. But I'll just say in advance that Yalv Yavashas have no nafkamina, there's no nafkamina whatsoever. Neither for my chever nor for your chever. Because my chever wouldn't forget Yalv Yavo. And the two versions of the second half of the statement. Either your chever wouldn't realize they forgot Yalv Yavo, or if they went back, they would forget Yalv Yavo a second time. So it's hard to know if any of these stories are true. What I do know is true is that the Nebi Yehuda wrote a tshuva here, Yeredeya Madura Kama Simen Tzadi Gimel, which he refers to in one of the tshuvas in Arachayim as well. Someone asked this Rav from Gotain in Germany, this Reber, asked him a series of four shilas. The four shilas, so those Simanim Tzadi, Tzadi Alf, Tzadi Beis, and finally Tzadi Gimel, the fourth of the four questions I'll reveal is, you asked me about the nusach of L'Shem Yichud. Asher chadasha mikarov nispashet v'nidpas b'sidurim. Recently, they've started printing in Sidurim, there's nusach, this Kabbalistic paragraph in advance of saying a bracha and doing a mitzvah, you say L'Shem Yichud. We talk about how you want the mitzvah to accomplish various Kabbalistic things in Shamayim, to do this to the Shem Hashem, to do this to the Shechina, L'Shem Yichud Kutcher Bricha, etc., etc. So this Rav Gata, the Rav of Gatain, Ribero, had asked Nabi Yehuda certain details about should the Nusach of L'Shem Yichud be like this, should it be like that. So he has a multi-part response. is a multi-part response. The first part, the hinei bezeh, hinei bezeh, he says, before I get to the details, I have to tell you that I have grave hesitations about this whole approach. He says, we're heirs to a rich tradition, we have a Babli, we have a Yerushalmi, and we have a tradition about how to learn, we have a tradition about Hashkafa, we have a tradition about Kabbalah. This whole notion that you're going to popularize Kabbalah to the masses, why that doesn't seem to be part of our Masorah. And he says, I see many of the leaders of this new movement, they have very sharp language, but how there's a lot more charisma and flash than substance. And there's often a lot of putting oneself out there in self-promotion. And he says, I have a lot more to say, but sometimes it's better to say less. Shem shemitzah lomar davar nishma, kach mitzah shol davar she'en nishma. That is true, I should point out, for many different movements and flavors. You will come across in your lives, you, sitting right here in 2023, you will come across in your lives people who present themselves as leaders. You'll come across in your lives many people present themselves as leaders who taka are very impressive to Tamei Chachamim and very humble people and aren't seeking the spotlight. The sort of people who, the more you get to know them over months and years, the more impressive they are. And those are the real, authentic models that you want to attach yourself to. You will probably also, over the course of your careers, come across people with a lot of charisma and a lot of flash and a fair amount of self-promotion that talk a good talk and put on a good show, and the more you get to know them, the less impressive they are. The more you get to know them, the less you see in terms of authentic content. The less you see in terms of a real avoda and real humility and midos tovus in general, anava in particular. And those are people that have a nice day. And I'll move on. It's important. You need to, part of your obligation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to grow and cultivate your own avodas Hashem is to be a discerning consumer in terms of to whom you attach yourself. So that's a point that the Mesillas, the Yehuda makes in the first paragraph. Gimaschal Hinei. And then he says, number two, beguf devarav, in terms of your actual question, you said, should the nusach be like this or like that? So he addresses that as well. And he says, if you want all my opinions, I think al pi kabbalah, the nusach should be like this and like that. He gets involved in the details. That's the part that I elided over with the three dots. And then, dear masal masha kasa. Then he says, here's the part that's directly relevant to our sugya. Mashakasa ma'alaso, what you wrote, shetov lios hakesher amitz, bedibur machshavo maisa. It's very important, it's very valuable to say l'shem yichud, because now you'll have a kesher amitz, a powerful connection between thought, speech, and action. He says, absolutely you should. And that's so important that there was a solution to that before 50 years ago also. How have Jews for the last couple of thousand years had a powerful connection between Machshava Dibur Maaseh? He says, the world wasn't created yesterday. We've been doing this, we've been keeping mitzvahs for a long time. You know how we have a powerful connection between Machshava Dibur Maaseh? He didn't answer the question, Gadola, Heim Tikmano Tfilos Ubrachos. Velekimid Loremiza Benusacha Tfil Vabracha. He says, the answer is, though, they were very, very great Kabbalists. And they gave us a whole siddur of tefillos and brachas, and with profound remazim, and bracha who his orus hadibur machshava. He says that's exactly the point of a bracha. Yoni l'shem yichud. That's what a birkas hamitzvah is. It awakens your speech and thought to align them with your action. B'chol mitzvah sheish bracha l'fana, ein tzarach lomar davar l'fana rak habracha. What better Kabbalistic preparation, profound preparation mitzvah, then saying a birkas hamitzvah, which you and I understand on a simple level, because it's shamus osav, it's ivanu. If we were mekubalim, we would understand the deeper Kabbalistic meanings that the Anshei Knesset Gedola, Ezra and Daniel and Zerubbabel and so forth, that they embedded in this language. And then he goes on to say, he was definitely a very spiritual man. He goes on to say, v'chol davar she'ein bracha lefaneh, if there's no bracha, like tzedakah, like emunah, like kibud aveim, ani noheg lomar b'fi Hineni osa davrazet lekayim mitzvahs bari. That was his personal, maybe Yehuda's personal hanhaga, that he would say, verbally, I am doing this because that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants of me. Ubezet dayin tzarech yose. You don't need to say l'shenichaz, just say that. Fascinating. So this, Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Gopin pointed out to me, Rabbi Brian Gopin, who I believe is a cousin of our Rabbi Baruch Gopin here, he pointed out that this Rabbi Yehuda is essentially reiterating the point of the Ritva, that in his first teretz, that the goal, the purpose of a Pirkei Avos mitzvah is to align my machshava, and through dibur, to align my machshava together with the ma'aseh mitzvah. Now, Eli was saying, well, how about that Rambam? How about that Rambam? Here's an interesting question. So according to the Ritva and the Ned Behuda, so clearly that the goal of the bracha is to give verbal expression to the pnimius of the mitzvah. I'm going to do the action of the mitzvah, but there's supposed to be an inner life to the mitzvah, supposed to be ideas and attitudes that are being expressed by the mitzvah, so I'm going to articulate them verbally. I'm going to verbalize the premise of the mitzvah in advance of doing the chitzonius, the maisa of the mitzvah. So obviously it's ideal to do that first, but at the same time, okay, if you didn't do it beforehand, it would still make sense right after the maisa mitzvah, give verbal expression to the ideas, the feelings, the mitos of the mitzvah. So the Ritva's lamdas for Birkas HaMitzvah, and by the way, it should be noted, the Ritva is presented as a lamdas for over Lasiyas of that detail. So the Yehuda Ray is pointing out, it's the lamdas for Birkas HaMitzvah as a whole. The purpose of Birkas HaMitzvah is to give expression of Pnimis HaMitzvah. May I understand why over Lasiyas is important, but on the other hand, it's important, but it's hard to see that's necessarily critical. Obviously, it's better to talk about the pnimis of the mitzvah in advance, that way you're thinking about b'shas ma'isa. But wouldn't you think that if not, then chaperayin immediately afterwards? The moment afterwards, it's already too late? Why? We're still under the chuppah, going back to Rav and Paragimel Vilchazishas. We're under the chuppah, or if you're doing erusin and nisuin separately, we're not under the chuppah. But you just gave the chassan just gave the ring to the kala. And he was so excited he forgot to make the bracha in advance. So make the bracha now. It's not as good as saying beforehand, but still, you just gave the caller ring. And now say, Kiddushanu, Hibdilanu, Hitulanu, Sanasuaslanu. Talk about the ideas, the elevated ideas of a Jewish marriage. If not right before, at least right after the Ma'ase Kedushin. What are you saying?
If the Rambam holds that the entire point of the mitzvah is to bring out those ideas, so that they're in your mind while you're doing the mitzvah, and that's what the bracha is for, then to say the bracha after you already did the action, you're missing the entire point of your bracha.
Good. So Eitan is saying, within the world of the Ritva, I could push and say, maybe it's not just Dom to give expression to the Pnimis of the mitzvah, but it's Dafka specifically to make sure that I'm thinking about during the Maisa mitzvah, so maybe a moment later it's too late. Certainly possible. So one way to explain the Rambam is, within the Ritva, he has a particularly sharp formulation of Ritva. Alternatively, the Rav suggested that if you look at the way the Rambam presents Birkas HaMitzvahs the first time, we might get a different take. As I mentioned, the home, the address of Birkas HaMitzvahs in the Rambam's Mishnah Torah is the last perek of Hilchas Brachas, perek Yudal. But let's step back 10 prakrim to the beginning of Hilchas Brachas. And let's see the first time the Rambam presents Birkas HaMitzvahs. The Mishnah Torah as a whole is organized as an elaboration on the Tariq Mitzvahs. More to say about that going forward. So see Hilchas Brachas. He begins. Hilchas Brachas comprises one mitzvah daraisa, mitzvah seachas, which is, see on top, before he even gets to Perek Aleph, Hilchas Brachas as a whole comprises mitzvah seachas, a single mitzvah. Hilchas Avodah Zarah includes more than 50 mitzvahs. Hilchas Shabbos, I think, is 4, maybe. Hilchas Brachas is only one mitzvah daraisa. Levarach is Hashem HaGadol HaKadosh Acher Achila. Rambam does not seem to think that Birkas HaTorah is a daraisa. The only bracha daraisa Rambam has is Birkas HaMaz. Ubeir mitzvah zu b'prakimeh. That's the way he almost always transitions from the list of mitzvahs to Perek Aleph, is that that was the list of the mitzvahs, the elaboration, the bayer of this mitzvah will be in the following prakim. And indeed, not surprisingly, he opened Perek Aleph of Chalut, mitzvah same in the Torah, Levarach Afar Akilas Mazim. Chalut, Pasim, Chumash, Vachalta, Vesavata, Verafta. The Rambam defines the mitzvah specifically as being, among other things, a din d'oraisa that appears in Torah Shebech Tzav. So that's how he opens. Mitzvah same in HaTorah, Birkas HaMazon, Apostik and Chumash. And then he goes on to say the mitzvah d'oraisa, we'll get to this soon in Maseches Brachas, Eino Chayv min HaTorah Elim Kin Sova, min HaTorah the Chiv is only Vachalta v'Savata. And then he goes on to talk about the expansions, Midrabanan. Midrabanan, even a Kazayis you have to bench. And then Halacha Beis, Midrabanan, you have to also say Bracha Rishona. And you have to say Bracha Rishona on food, you have to say Bracha Rishona on Reach. Midrabanan, he also says, Halacha Beis, you have to say make Bracha Acharona on other foods, not just on bread, not just on mazon. The very last one, Halacha Beis, is something that should be familiar to us from the Vekiyas. Mat emes, enet zricha bracha, lofen avol alacharet. Okay. So the first two halachos, he starts with the kernel, the mitzvah d'oraisa of Birkas HaMazon, and shows that that expands Midrabanan into the full array of Birkas HaNenin. Birkas HaNenin, Bracha Rishona, Birkas HaNenin, Bracha Acharona, various types of foods, various amounts of foods, smells, the whole system of Birkas HaNenin. Then in Halachas Gimel and Dalet, he presents the other two categories of brachas. Halacha Gimel. Here we are again in Hilchos Brachas, Paragraph Halacha Gimel. Kishem. Kishem Shevarchan Ha'anoya Kach Mevarchan Kol Mitzvah Mitzvah V'yachar Kach Yasasa. Just as, Kishem, just as you make a bracha on pleasure, Birkas HaNenin, as he elaborated on the first two halachos, so too, again, here we are, Halacha Gimel. Halacha Gimel. Kach, so too, Mevarchan Kol Mitzvah Mitzvah V'yachar Kach Yasasa. So you make a bracha on a mitzvah, and then you do the mitzvah. So he just mentioned the second category of brachas, Birkas HaMitzvahs. And by the way, he's stuck in right away over Las Yasam. Right? Make the bracha and then do the mitzvah. Is there another type, any other types of brachas? Yes. Brachos rabos siknu chachamim derech shevach v'hodoya v'derech bakasha. Plus, there are many brachas that Chazal are masakin as shevach v'hodoya, as praise or thanks. Birkas HaHodah, or Tfilos, Derech Bakasha, petitioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kedei Lizkor Es HaBorei Tamitz, so that you'll keep HaKadosh Baruch Hu in mind all the time. Birkos, Afal Pi Shalonen Evlo Asa Mitzvah. This third group of brachas are, even when you're not having any pleasure, it's not Birkas HaNen, you're not doing any mitzvah, not Birkas HaMitzvah, but still, there's a third category, a third bucket of brachas that keep HaKadosh Baruch Hu in mind, even though we're not neither deriving pleasure from the world nor doing mitzvahs. And then the Rambam reiterates, in case you didn't get the point, let's put this all together, a nice, neat list. Halacha Dalet, again, Hilchos Brachas, Paragraph Halacha Dalet, Nimtzu. So what emerges? Kol HaBrachas Kulon Shalosha Minim. There are three categories of brachas. Birkas Hanoya, Birkas Mitzvos, Birkas Hodah Shehein Derech Shevach V'Hodaya Uvakasha. A little bit of an unwieldy formulation there. It says there are three types of brachas, Birkas HaNenin, Birkas HaMitzvahs, and Birkas Hodah. And then he says, like an asterisk there, Birkas Hodah includes Hodah, thank you brachas, includes Shevach, praise, like Osam HaSabreshes, and includes Bakashos, which may even mean like Tefillah. Okay, so that the third category, Kedei, once again he reiterates, Kedei Lizkir Zabori Tamid Ula Yira Mimenu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be on our minds on an ongoing basis. Okay. Three categories of brachas. You notice anything interesting about Halacha Gimel? Halacha Dalet, very linear, is category one, category two, category three. Birkas HaNenin, Birkas HaMitzvahs, Birkas Shevach V'Hodah, Bakasha. But how did he present it originally? That's when he was sort of wrapping it up. Some re-summarizing. When he originally introduced us to categories 2 and 3, Birkas HaMitzvahs and Birkas Shevach V'Hodah, in Halacha Gimel, notice anything interesting about how he presents, introduces, fresh voice? Look carefully. Anything strike you? Rama's use of language is presumably very, very intentional. And once you pay attention, a little striking. Pinchas?
In the first line, he says, "Kashem shemavarchin aliyena ha'ein hiya kavod." The brachas mitzvahs are derived from the concept of brachas
and engine. Pirkshav avoda. He doesn't. Right? He doesn't say, "Kach you have birkshav mitzvahs, v'kach you have birkshav avoda." That's a very good point. What are you going to say? It's that same point. Right? The Rambam knew how to just say "and." Also, when he introduces categories, he just says "and." Ooh, brachas rabbos take the derech shavada. But he didn't just say "and there are birkshav mitzvahs." Kishem shavarcha no, kach mivarcha kol mitzvah mitzvah. The same way you make a bracha on pleasure, you make a bracha on mitzvahs. And not only that, not only is he introducing birkshav mitzvahs to some sort of like equation almost. They're parallel to Birkasa. They say we make a bracha on pleasure, make a bracha on mitzvahs, and proceed to then jam in which one detail? Over lasiyasa. What's that all about? So the Rav suggested the following. Here we get to tickle the first sugya in our parak. The just mamish graze the surface. The tip of the iceberg. Lamed hey. Maseches brachas, ketzem mevarchen. Unzer perek, Rabbi Yisai. Unzer perek. Unzer perek fag donda. Auf Yiddish. Verstehst du? I don't verstehe nicht. Ich habe gemeint, dass jetzt da ein Fangen an unser Perek. Ah, okay. I guess your Yiddish is a little rusty. Fair enough. I'll try, for the one or two fellows whose Yiddish is a little bit slightly rusty, I'll try to translate. Our Perek, ketzem mevarchen, begins on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. Ketzer Avarchan Ala Peiros. After three prakim dedicated to Kriyat Shema, and another two prakim Dal and Hey dedicated to Tzvila, Perek Vav opens with the third major topic of Maseches Brachas, which is Birkas HaPeiros, Brachas on food, specifically Brachas Rishonos. Perek Zayin Shlosh Shachul will be about Birkas HaMazon and Zimun. Perek Vav is about predominantly brachas rishonos on food. Right away, the Mishnah starts in a very organized fashion to introduce us to a number of the various brachas that you can say. Peketz avarchan aperos. How do you say brachas on fruits? Aperos ha'ilon hu omer bar pri ha'etz. Chutz min ha'yayin shal yayin hu omer bar pri ha'gafen. So usually you say bar pri ha'etz on tree fruit. The exception is wine. Grape wine is not bar priya eitz, but rather bar priya gafen. Peiros haaretz, a non-tree fruit, fruit of the land, hu omer bar priya adama. Chutz mina pas. The exception to bar priya adama is bread. It's rather than saying a bar priya adama on bread, interesting that would have been the default. I should have said a bar priya adama on bread, but Chazal chose to create a new, extra specific bracha. Pasu Omer Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Okay, then the Mishnah goes on to discuss vegetables, yirakos. Got to figure out at some point what's the difference between peiros haaretz and yirakos. Yirakos Omer Bar Pri Adama Rabbi Yehuda Omer Borei Mine Deshaim. Never heard of that one because we don't pass them like Rabbi Yehuda. So until you learn Mishnah's brachas, you don't know that Rabbi Yehuda differentiated what we think of as the Bar Pri Adama group, vegetables, quote unquote. So the Tana of Yehuda subdivide those into the Bar Pri Adama vegetables and the Bori Mine Deshaim vegetables.
What's
grasses. We'll have to figure that out. The Mishnah presents there two different categories, Peiros Haaretz, fruits of the land, as opposed to Yerakos, greens. So loosely speaking, it feels like maybe tomatoes would be a bar pi adama l'chaladeas, but maybe lettuce would have been a machlokas. Okay, we have to figure this out. Not yet. Right away, this Mishnah is already just scratching the surface. There's so much going on, and even from dinim that we've known since we're kids. But I never thought about hagefen as a exceptional case subcategory of ha'et. I definitely never thought of hamotzi as a exceptional subcategory of hadama. Nor did I ever think about dividing all the Bar Pri Adamas into two subgroups, the Peiros Haaretz and the Irak as well. Really a lot. You just learn a Mishnah with open eyes, and whoa, all of a sudden everything I was taking for granted, I'm beginning to look at with fresh eyes, which is fantastic. But the most fundamental point of the Mishnah is not the details. That's all step two. Step two is, oh, do you say this bracha, do you say that bracha, what are the categories of food, when do you say this bracha, when do you say that bracha? But that's all, what the Mishnah says explicitly, about details of specific brachas, that's all step two. What's step one of the Mishnah? That you make brachas, right? Ketzad mevarchan aperos implies mevarchan al aperos. You're supposed to make brachas before you eat. How do you go about it? Now let me give you all the details. That's why the Gemara opens by not losing track of what's step one. We'll get to step two of several blot about figuring out when do you make adam, when do you make a shakar, when do you make a mizonos, and what bracha do you make on chocolate, and what bracha do you make on coffee, and what bracha do you make on this, that, and the other thing, what bracha do you make on applesauce and guacamole, what bracha do you make on sugar, shakar, it grows from the ground, is it heights, is it adama, what bracha do you make on chocolate? These are all fascinating questions, and we will get there. And how do we work with, how do we have multi-ingredient food, ikkar and tefil, all that is to come. That's all elaborating on step two of the Mishnah. Which bracha do you make and which type of food? A lot to think about. But the Gemara starts with step one. Mevarchin ala peyos. Minani mili. Where does that come from? And the Mishnah takes it sort of for granted. Right? The assumption is mevarchin ala peyos, so we jump right into, well, how? The Gemara says, excuse me, where did you get your assumption from? Minani mili. It has a whole discussion. Hansel's psukim, you see right away. Tan Rabbana and Kodeshi, we have a drasha and pasuk in Kedoshim, and back and forth, a lot going on this Amud. We will be never get to it after beyond. But for now, everyone loves to start with dessert. We're going to start with the Maskana. The very bottom of the Amud, right before the two dots. The Gemara comes to conclusion after all the back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, says Svara. It's logical that you shouldn't be allowed to enjoy, derive pleasure from the world without first reciting a bracha. And interestingly, the Gemara goes on to say that itself may be rooted in psukim. See, first the Gemara goes on to quote a brisa that says this, Tan Rabbanan, Asr lo la'adam shi'enem al-alma zeb lo bracha, v'chal nem al-alma zeb lo bracha ki mo'al. It's me'ila. You're stealing from God. That's what the Brisa says. It's God's food. Who gave you permission? If it's Yissi's food and I take without permission, I'm stealing from Yissi. If it's God's food and I eat without God's permission, I'm stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a name in Chumash. That's Me'ila. It's the name of a Masechta. Usually we think of Me'ila as something set aside as a carbon and I use it for my own personal, I abuse it for my own personal purposes. Or I go into the Beis HaMikdash and I take a drink using Klei Sharis. Me'ilah, I'm stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Brisa says, that bottle of water, it's not Hekdesh, but everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. The only way to get permission is to say a bracha. As a matter of fact, the Gemara is at the very bottom. The Gemara says, Rabbi Levi Rami. Rabbi Levi had a stira. On the one hand, the Pasuk says, Lashem Arot Simoloa, the world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. On the other hand, the Pasuk says, Ashamayim Shemayim Lashem, the Arot Nasan of Ne'adam. The heavens remain a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but he gave us planet Earth. So which one is it? Is it his, or did he give it to us? And for the Gemara lo kasha, kan kodem bracha, kan lacha bracha. Hashem Arutz Maloa, I get permission by saying a bracha, which is already the implication, that not explicitly stated, of the Tanam, the Braisa. Saying that it's Me'ila, that to derive pleasure in the world of a bracha is theft from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me permission, I'm authorized to use it when I say a bracha. Okay, and we say it was a svara, but Maisa is also rooted in psukim. So that's also interesting. A lot to come back to. The Rav suggested, again, there's so much to talk about in Brachas Lamed, but one of the ideas that emerges is that what's the role of a bracha rishon on food? That's right, it's a matir. It makes it mutter. It's license. It gives me license. It gives me authorization. It gives me permission to eat the food. That's why I say, may I please? And the answer is, go ahead. But until you ask, you have no right to eat the food. So the Rav suggested that if you take that and plug that back into the Rambam here in Paragraph of Lach Gimel, Kishem Shemavarchan al Hanoya, just as I make a bracha on Hana, so too I make a bracha on mitzvahs, and then I do them. Meaning, presumably, just as I need to make a bracha before I derive pleasure so that I have permission to eat that food, so that I have permission to enjoy that scent, so too, I don't have permission to do a mitzvah until I make a birkas ha-mitzvah. Just as a birkas ha-nenin is a matir for me to subsequently enjoy that pleasure, a birkas ha-mitzvah is a matir for me to subsequently perform that mitzvah. And that's why the Rambam says you make the bracha first and you enjoy the pleasure and you do the mitzvah afterwards. Because the whole point of the bracha is to have permission to do the mitzvah. Now let's just stop for a moment. Instead of just mouthing words, that's a little bit of a strange concept. I mean, I understand that Kadosh Baruch created the universe, and I don't know what gives me the right to enjoy it. I have to ask Kadosh Baruch for permission. You want to eat? Ask for it. Okay, because eating is, I mean, everyone should eat. It's important to stay healthy. But eating any one food is optional. I don't have to eat this broccoli. You want to eat the broccoli, ask for permission. But what do you mean I have to ask for permission to do a mitzvah? I thought I have to do the mitzvah. Do I have to do the mitzvah? So I won't ask for permission to wear tefillin, and I won't wear the tefillin. I understand. I mean, it's okay to just not say a bracha and not do it. Like, what does that mean, asking for permission? I thought I'm obligated to wear the tefillin. I thought I'm obligated to hear shofar. I thought I'm obligated to read the Megillah. So what it means, it is what the Rambam implies. What it means is the following. Yes, I am obligated to wear tefillin. Yes, I am obligated to hear the Megillah. And at the same time, it's an extraordinary privilege. You would be doing, to be the ambassador of Havdil, to be the U.S. ambassador to Denmark or to Japan, you're doing a significant service to your country. But I don't just get to decide. I woke up one morning and decide I am, as an American citizen, I decide that I am now the American ambassador to Japan. Doesn't work that way, Bucko. You have to be asked, and you have to be given, you have to be authorized. President, Senate, etc. Someone authorizes you to do that service for your country. You don't get to just decide, I decide I'm moving into the American embassy in Japan. No. We'll ask you, we'll give you permission to do that avoda, so to speak, leman, the country. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects you to put on film. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects you to hear the Megillah. But at the same time, you need to recognize that that's an awesome privilege. It's almost a chutzpah. Puny man is going to walk into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's palace and serve him? Who do I think I even am? So at the same time, it's both paradox, but not a contradiction. At the same time that I'm obligated to work for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have to realize that I'm expected to show up to the king's palace. But I also have to but at the same time, I'm going to knock. Is it okay to come in? Even though I'm obligated to show up, but who do I think I am? I'm going to walk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to do a mitzvah. I'm going to stand with Nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu and do a mitzvah. So at the same time that I'm expected to show up and do the mitzvah, I also have to, it would be a gross violation of Derech Eretz to not ask for permission first. Who do I think I am that I have the schus to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It doesn't mean that I have the right to say, I'm off the hook. No. You're expected to show up to the palace. But you knock before you come to the palace. I have to be aware of the awesome privilege of entering the divine palace and doing mitzvahs. So that's l'chaora what the Rambam understands birkas hamitzvahs as a whole. The idea of a birkas hamitzvah is it's a netilas rishos, it's a matir. I'm knocking on the door of the palace. May I enter and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If that's what it is, if it's a matir, so then for sure, once I did the mitzvah, you missed your moment. You're not going to knock on the way out of the palace. That's pointless. It's too late to ask for it. You did the mitzvah, okay, it's good. You didn't say a bracha, that was unfortunate, and the moment has passed. If bracha is a matir to do the mitzvah, then once the mitzvah is done, saying the bracha afterwards is no more useful than blowing shofar the day after Rosh Hashanah. The time is a nice idea, but the time the mitzvah is over. So the Rav suggested if the idea of a brach, a birkas hamitzvah as a whole, is to give expression to the inner significance of the mitzvah, the ideas of the mitzvah, kiddushanu, tzivanu, and so on and so forth, as the Ritva says, as the Nodim Yehuda says, so then it's ideal, obviously, it's important, it's very important to do it in advance, but it will still be meaningful, not as good, but still meaningful to say right afterwards. Maybe not the next day, but 10 seconds later, say the bracha. Say the bracha. But if you understand, like the Rambam, that the purpose of Birkas HaMitzvah is to matir me to do a mitzvah, so then lechora, once a mitzvah is done, it's pointless to ask for heter. Now you're asking for forgiveness instead of permission. That wasn't the idea. The idea was to ask for permission. So now what emerges, just to sort of chart this out, to organize the ideas, we have a takana of Birkas HaMitzvos. Start to be in the basic takana, that's stage number one. So this you have the Ritva on the one hand, the Rambam on the other hand. That it's Habas expressing the pibius of mitzvah versus that it's a matir to be allowed to do the mitzvah. And then what flows from that is, should I have over lasiyasa? Both would say yes. The Gemara says yes, and both of these has been for the basic takana. Would imply that over lasiyasa is important, but if over lasiyasa ma'akev, the Rambam would say yes, it's ma'akev. The Ritva would say not ma'akev, and that's exactly the shita of the Rambam, that over lasiyasan is ma'akev, whereas the Oruz Ruah, the Ritva's hesber seems to yield the shita of the Oruz Ruah halacha, that while it's wrong to say to wait until afterwards, it still is productive, incomplete, but still you didn't say the bracha beforehand. You didn't say the bracha right before, you should say the bracha right after. And that is the position of the R Zaruah. And let me just add one last larger point. Another way to think about the basic here, the two machloksim, the machloks halacha between the R Zaruah and the Rambam, and the machlokas fundamental lumdus between the Ritva and the Rambam. One way to think about this maybe is another color would be great. To think about Yira versus Abbas. Terminology that we'll talk about more very soon in the Akdam to Mizil Shah. Not today, but soon. In other words, both the Ritva and the Rambam understand that the bracha is relating the Maisa Mitzvah to certain inner ideas, to certain pnimius. But for the Ritva, it's more about the connectedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that the Mitzvah infuses me with Kedusha, an awareness that this is, I'm acting the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to act. For the Rambam, it's more a sense of awe, more fundamental. It's, do I even have the right to walk in? Be aware of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Be the sense of respect. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has asked me to do a mitzvah, but I need to ask permission. Chutzpah, that I'm even more puny mortal man, is going to do a mitzvah. So they're both obviously giving expression to pnimius, as Dibur usually does, but different flavors of pnimius. And the way it plays out in particular, both of them imply over lasiyasa is important, but only the Ritva's approach allows for, mindful of what Eitan said, only the Ritva's approach allows for the Orzaruah Shita, that over Las Yosef is important but not mocking. We take the approach the Rambam seems to say in Hilchos Brachos. This is the Rambam in Parak Aleph. Okay, it's a makir. So then you get to the Rambam's position in Parak Yud Aleph. Or you're forced into the Rambam's position in Parak Yud Aleph. That the bracha, the overall asiyasa is ma'akim.